Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a really good show for you today, and it's so appropriate for this time of the year, so just hang in there. It's just, you will love the information and the words of wisdom that will be shared with you on today's show, particularly during this time of the year. So hang in there. I want to thank our sponsors, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company. Check them out. You can get free gifts from them at FabFitWellGiftPack.com. Go in there and pick up some free gifts from the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company that are designed to help you be able to manage your health and well-being better and to get some energy and sleep well and feel well and look absolutely fabulous. So again, healthhealingwellness.com and FabFitWellGiftPack.com. The other sponsor for today's show is a telecommunications installation company located in the Silicon Valley. They've been in business for over 26 years, and their motto is we make the right connections for you. They are a backbone telecom distribution company, so if you need voice, data, fiber optic, wireless access points installed, you having problems with the way your telecommunications is communicating, or just want some consultation on how you can make things a lot better, a lot efficient, then you want to check out alldaycableinc.com. Give them a call. Again, they've been around for over 26 years and have very professional staff and highly knowledgeable technicians and engineers that can help you solve any of your telecommunications installation or distribution problems. And so now this guest, before I jump in, I want to say this guest is definitely someone that you want to, if you can, sit back and relax, get a piece of paper or something to write with and take notes, because she is a friend of Blissful Living, and she has been a guest on Blissful Living before. And when she was a guest on Blissful Living, she had a phenomenal show. We had a lot of intrigue and likes with regards to this guest. So, again, I thought, how appropriate is it to bring her back at this time of the year for you, particularly since she is a friend of Blissful Living. So let me tell you about the guest. Her name is Ellie Savoy, and she is the author of Stop Dieting, Start Living. She's an inspirational speaker, a progressive health and wellness empowerment coach, and she is the author of the number one international best-selling book, Stop Dieting, Start Living, 5 Foundations for Your Health to Permanently Lose Weight Without Dieting, Starvation, or Suffering in Silence. How appropriate is that for this time of the year? Now, Ellie's mission is to help yo-yo dieters get off the dieting merry-go-round permanently, because it doesn't work, and discover the simplicity and joy of investing in their most precious asset, a healthy mind, body, and soul. And so she lives in the Hudson Valley, the very scenic Hudson Valley, which I'm sure is going through some wonderful changes right now. And she enjoys supporting local farmers, being active in her community, and chatting with anyone who wants to ask her a question about how they can get healthier and how they can get on a healthier and happier path. And so I just want to say welcome to the show, Ellie Savoy. Yay!
Yay! Thank you so much, Rochelle, the queen of feeling fabulous. How fabulous is that? Oh, well, thank you so much for having me back on.
You're welcome. It's so good to have you back. And I know the listeners, you know, if any of you out there, and I know there's millions of people out there that have tried a diet, have tried several diets, have been dieting all their life, one diet from another, and still not having the results, or better yet, looking worse after they get off the diet than they did before. If any of you have experienced any of those challenges, then you probably do want to take out a piece of paper and pencil, or you could always download the show and re-listen to it again if it's not convenient for you to do that. But you definitely want to pay attention to what Ellie has to share. And because I think this is such an appropriate topic, particularly not only for this time of the year, but for all times of the year, I think we are just going to start off by asking Ellie, first of all, with regards to this whole dieting thing. I know we all have our own experiences that have brought us back to the path of bliss, I like to say, and back to our path of purpose. But what brought you to really want to help people stop dieting, get off the diet yo-yo?
Well, it was actually, I had a catalyst for change in 2011 when I was told after a GYN visit, annual visit, that I had two uterine fibroids, and I was given four options. One was a hysterectomy, and then there were two other surgical procedures, and the fourth thing was to do nothing. And it really rocked my world. I mean, I remember pulling into the side of the road, driving back home and crying because I just felt so sort of like I'd let myself down. And I know fibroids are a big issue. You know, lots of women have them. But this was the first time I was encountering them myself. And
right.
I just knew they didn't belong in there. So I didn't have surgery. I still have my uterus.
Yay!
Yay, I know, right? Because, you know, the Western approach is to just sort of take it out or take a pill.
Right.
And, you know, when you have your uterus removed, of course, then you've got a whole other, you know, set of circumstances to deal with. It just doesn't mean because it's gone, that's the end of it. And so I embarked upon a hormone rejuvenation program, which is homeopathic. And it was very involved, but just sort of for the purposes of the listeners today, I discovered in doing that I actually was enjoying the process of taking care of myself. And I call it a process because it is really. It's more mm-hmm. of a process in the beginning until it becomes natural. And so within that, I was really embracing taking care of myself. And as I said, I discovered that I was enjoying that sort of self-care instead of being in and out of it. You know, one week I might be taking care of myself and the next week not, kind of thing.
Right.
And then I lost the excess weight. At my heaviest, I was 30 pounds heavier. And by not focusing on a diet and restriction and counting something or other, and just focusing on a healthy diet and listening to the needs of my body, I lost the weight naturally. And that was the beginning of this permanent lifestyle change. And it sort of just evolved from there. You know, as you probably know, Rochelle, the dieting industry is worth billions, like 60 billion plus, you know, and supplements is a whole other story.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have a problem with profits, but this area of body image and weight loss and everything to do with that, especially for us women, it's just a trap, really, in many cases, and that weight does pile back on usually. It always did for me. And this is just like a total escape, a total, like, the antithesis of that mentality and approach. So basically, you know, like you, I focus on healing the body and fueling it so it can, with the right fuel. It's like putting diesel in your car. If it takes unleaded, it's not going to work. It's going to damage the car. So
exactly, you
yeah,
know.
So that was it. That was it in a nutshell. Well, it's not quite a nutshell, is it? I rambled on, but anyway, hopefully people get the gist. You know, it's like this is something I've lived. I've been on the other side of, you know, being on the diets, and now I'm free of all of that. And honestly, it does become an easy thing to do. But like anything new, it takes time and patience, and you have to have a passion for it, like learning anything new. And I can't emphasize enough the absolute benefits of stop dieting and start living. It is just, you know, freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. It's wonderful.
You know, Ellie, I'm sure a bunch of people out there listening, a lot of people out there listening can relate to the whole dieting industry, things that have worked for them, their experiences with being on diets and getting off them and, you know, not being able to sustain the lifestyle changes that occur when you, quote unquote, do a diet. And so I know a lot of people out there can relate to what you were saying with regards to how this started you on your path. Now, the last time you were here, we talked, you know, about this, and we had did a telesummit together as well, and you share your words of wisdom. But since then, you've authored the international best-selling book, Stop Dieting and Start Living. And so what I want to ask you with regards to that is, when you decided to put your words of wisdom and your experiences into a book, what was your purpose? What was your purpose? I'm just going to stop there.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I love it. I love helping people, and in any way, you know, I'm a real giver. It's just the way I am. And because this was an area of struggle for me for so many years, and then it's no longer a struggle, I just wanted to make that available to other women. And, I mean, some men also have, you know, read my book and then said to me, well, why did you get dedicated to women? Because men are really getting quite a bit out of it too. But the book is, it's not your typical kind of, it's not a dieting book, of course, because it's called Stop Dieting. But it's my philosophy. It's how I got to where I am and the path that I help others go down. So it's mm-hmm. really my philosophy, which is based on 5 P's. And when I went through my changes, of course, I didn't realize then I would be writing a book and teaching this. When I looked back, it was I made myself a priority. That's the first P. And if we don't do that and sort of draw a line in the sand and say, listen, I just have to hang up my superwoman cape. You know, I can't be this person who's running around 100 miles an hour anymore. It just doesn't bring happiness and it doesn't make us feel good. So the priorities piece was where I started because, you know, when I got the diagnosis and avoided surgery, I literally did make myself a priority. I started saying no to certain things. And that was a biggie for me because I was always putting my hand up for everything.
Right.
And the second P was, or is, pretending. This is one where, you know, we don't really want to face the reality of what is. And so
right.
we make excuses. Sometimes they might be valid, but when I looked at my own excuses, oftentimes they weren't. We're pretending that perhaps we ate half the bag of chips when we ate the whole thing. And, you know, just stuff like that. So it's sort of like I was really looking at my choices and my decisions. And then I started to get some revelations around that. And then the third one is perception. You know, we often think it takes too much time to make a healthy meal or it costs too much money or there's so much confusion around nutrition anyway. But in general, you know, my perception changed. I like being in my kitchen. I wasn't looking to go out 4 or 5 nights a week anymore. Just the whole thing around embracing my health was crucial and a really big thing for me. And then the fourth one is plan. We're often very good at planning other aspects of our lives, social events, vacations, home renovations, you know, this type of thing. But when it comes to what we're going to eat for the week, oftentimes that plan isn't there. And so even though I'm an organized person naturally, I still wasn't on the ball with that on
mm-hmm,
a regular
mm-hmm.
basis. So the plan was, is huge. It saves us from grabbing anything quick on the fly, you know, when we're just in a rush. And we'll just grab that. And then, of course, it's usually not nutritious.
Right.
Tax on the weight. And then the fifth one is passion. As I said earlier, I developed a passion for myself and my own well-being. And it's sort of like, you know, whatever someone's favorite hobby is, maybe it's playing tennis or golfing or dancing, you name it. I mean, I love to dance, but this has become like it's a very deep interest of mine for my own body and my own well-being, but sharing that now with others. So that's sort of how I based my book and my principles and my philosophy. So it's not your typical, try this for 7 days or just do that for a month. You know, it's not any of that. And there's been lots of really great reviews on Amazon. So that's good. I mean, it's not about me, I always say. It's about the reader and it making that difference for somebody else.
So now when you decided to write the book with regards to, you know, identifying the five P's within the book, did you take a look at the person that, how can I say, just quite doesn't get it? You know what I mean? No matter what, they'll come up with an excuse. They like the dieting thing because it, you know, potentially always gives them something to talk about, the new diet, you know, so on and so forth. You know, they think that's the way to live their life. They can't plan. They can't do anything but get on and off these diets. Did you think about those people? Because I think sometimes you would think that though sometimes by people reading stuff, they will get it, it'll click. But sometimes they just don't get it. And I don't know. When you wrote your book, did you think about how those people would react to what was being said in the book, I guess is the question.
Yes. That'll always be, I always feel like it's never a one size fits all. Even my approach is not necessarily for everybody, because there are those people that still find some kind of safety, you know, maybe that's not the right word, some kind of, they don't see it as a crutch. They see it as something that is very useful for them. So if people, you know, those people that like to diet and don't mind the yo-yo thing aren't necessarily looking for a change. But those people that want to change, and I think it takes several years, of course it's all personal, but I think it takes many years for us to actually say enough is enough, because you know, it's the definition of insanity, really. It's like, why would we keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? I call it the diet, the knight in shining armor in my book, like the one that's going to rescue us, you know?
Right, right.
But it doesn't make any sense to keep doing the same thing and expecting a lasting result.
Right.
So for those people that have been down that path numerous times, more times than they can remember, have lost more weight and put it back on more times than they can remember, this is definitely something for those people to pick up and read. And it, most people that have read this my book have said to me they felt like I was speaking to them, because remember, I've lived this. This is not just where I went to learn this in school, and I've written a book about the subject. You know, it's my own journey. So I know the typical struggle, the excuses, where the energy gets placed, all this kind of thing. So it really speaks to those people that are living that way. And I always say, you know, I'm a big believer in non-judgment now, especially at this point. Of course, we're all, you know, judge ourselves and don't necessarily always like what we see in the mirror. But if we keep that that kind of energy placed around it, this is more of a gentle approach. This isn't something about locking ourselves into one style of eating. It's more about, it's an empowerment approach. It's allowing us as individuals to connect with what our own individual bodies need. And the more we become attuned to that, the more we'll catch things before they actually, you know, manifest into something else.
So now, Ellie, when you were writing this book, what was one of the biggest challenges you saw that people were facing with regards to this whole subject of dieting?
Gosh. Well, I think I've kind of, you know, it covered them in each of those five P's. When a woman, like even with my own sister, there's this hesitation, especially if a woman is a mother, it seems, to making themselves a priority. It's like it's just it,
right.
It can't possibly be.
I see that time and time again. I do see that time. And out of 100 people, I'll see that with out of 100 women, you'll see that 99 of them don't make themselves a priority.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like to help people break through these barriers, you know, these blockages to create a new way of being rather than the status quo. And, you know, we're all trying to be, to do everything and be everything and take care of everything. And we're always last on the list, if even on the list. And so I'm really helping people to reframe that, to see themselves differently. It's not selfish. It's actually, you know, the opposite, because
right.
what kids really need is healthy, vibrant parents.
Right. Exactly. That are the example of how they should be eating, how they should be their lifestyle, how they should be interacting, engaging relationships, all of those things. Now, I know you say in your book, like your purpose and your guiding information was, you know, designed with regards to utilizing the five P's. When you come across someone that I'm going to say has read the book and says, you know, I love the book, I love the information, however, I can't possibly incorporate all five of those P's into my life. Is there a way that I can have some success by incorporating one and then get comfortable with that one and move on to the next? What do you tell those people?
Good question. Well, the P's are actually sequential. And the way I teach it, I also have a program that maybe we could talk about a bit later that goes into a lot more detail than the book. Of course, you can only put so much into a book. And so I've recorded on video each of the pieces of this journey. And so the priorities, I use the metaphor of a house. So the priorities is the foundation. And so without a solid foundation of anything, it won't last. And so the priorities is the first place to start. And then, you know, that can look like, as I said, for me, where I would say no to certain things, or I would look at my diary and say, I've got too many appointments. What can I move into the next week? Or what can I absolutely say no to? You know, it's just always room. I shouldn't say always because I don't know everybody's situation, but there's usually room in there for making some adjustments. But as you know, Rochelle, once it's on our radar, it's then we start to recognize it.
Right.
We start to become aware of it, and the awareness piece is crucial. So, you know, the pretending piece I refer to is like putting up the walls. You know, when you're building a house, there's a sequence. You can't put up on the roof before you have the walls and the foundation in place.
Right.
And this is what happens a lot with dieting and these quick fixes, is that these crucial pieces are not in place for people. So it's like clutching at straws. It's like grabbing the next best thing. Instead of actually looking at it in a logical way, in a common sense way, so that, you know, it's like living in your home. You want it to last for a long time. You know, you don't want to buy a house and then have it fall down in 2 years, you know. You want to live in it for a long time. In our bodies, we live in for our whole life.
Right.
So when we have this sequence, this logical sequence, because you can't put one before the other, then it all makes sense. And I think this is what gives people, this common sense approach is what gives people that connection, that bridge, because it makes sense to them. It's like it fits them.
It's something they can relate to. Yeah, something they can relate to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's huge for people with regards to any topic, whether it be, you know, how to grow grass greener or how to, you know, get off the dieting yo-yo. If it's relatable to them, like you said, many people have came up to you and said, I felt like you were talking exactly to me. And so that's really good. And you guys out there listening will tell you how you can pick up a copy of the book as well as give you more information about Ellie. Now, Ellie, you know, you had an experience that transformed your life. And I want to, you know, transform your life and put you on this journey. I want to take it a step back before you had the experience. Because I'm sure there are people that haven't had an experience that could be potentially life-threatening, but they still want to connect and be able to move forward with progress with regards to our discussion today. So prior to your, life-changing situation with regards to your health, what was your mindset before when it came to the dieting thing?
Well, as you know, I'm from England, and I would go on a diet for as little as 5 pounds. I was never a chubby kid or, you know, early in my adult life. My weight got to my heaviest when I moved to America. And I always say, nobody was forcing me to eat everything. But, you know, portion sizes are bigger. And
right.
My taste buds changed. And so I put on this, I was 30 pounds heavier at the heaviest point. And so I would just go on, you know, even if I wasn't following a diet, I would be restricting myself of something, or it would just be constantly on my mind. And but the biggest thing for me was the stress, I think. I'm a type A personality, go, go, go. And I wouldn't stop, really, until I was exhausted. And it was so unhealthy. You know, my body would just be exhausted, and then I would be forced to rest. And, you know, as soon as I felt good again, you forget how bad you felt. And so I'd be off again, you know, and pretending I could do everything.
Right.
And that was a pattern of mine for years. And, you know, as I said, I would go on a diet or restrict myself of something to take care of the weight. But what the thing was is I wasn't taking care of my lifestyle. Nothing changed on a deep enough level.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it was just so ongoing, because I was just putting a Band-Aid on it. And when I had this wake-up call, and we often, unfortunately, do get a wake-up call before we change our ways. You know, it's like two by four across the head. But it doesn't have to be that way. So if anybody listening, you know, hopefully doesn't have any sort of major health issues, even those that feel that they're healthy and really don't have, you know, maybe they want to lose 5 or 10 pounds, but nothing, you know, too major, it's really to say, stop worrying about the weight and focus on the quality of the food, and, you know, move away from the processed rubbish and really focus on the quality, not so much quantity, although that is important, but the quality. And and then, you know, things can really start to change for the better. So
I like that. I like how you emphasizing it's the quality of food that you eat, that's important, not so much the quantity, but the quality. Because if you put bad stuff in, like you gave the gas analogy earlier, if you put bad stuff in, you're going to get a non-efficient, non-vibrant, non-energetic type of body. If you put good stuff in, you're going to have energy and you're going to have vibrancy, and your body's going to be able to process the nutrients from the food that you're taking in and be able to utilize it in a more efficient and effective manner. So I really like the emphasis, and you guys out there listening, you know, she kind of just talked about it like it was very nonchalant, but that's a huge component and a very important thing that you should take. But if you don't take anything else today from what we're talking about, at least take that information. It's about the quality of the food that you put in, and we don't mean the cheapest canned goods or even canned goods, period, in the supermarket shelf. But I want to let Ellie get back to being the genius that she is and sharing the information with us. Now, Ellie, you know, I wanted to take people back to before you, you know, had the life awakening event that happened in your life, because, you know, you too, I wanted them to see that you too kind of were doing things that, you know, a lot of people out there are doing. It wasn't like you weren't doing them and you were a goody-goody foodie before. You know, you kind of had things that you were doing that follows the patterns of what a lot of people experience and a lot of people are doing. And then it was something that awakened you to, you know, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. If you don't pay attention now, you know, you may not be around to pay attention. So something that awakened you to shift your focus and get you back to where your body truly was wanting and desiring to be, which was having healthy food being intaken in and being able to utilize and process it efficiently. Now, because the listeners got that information and they got the story that awakened you, and you've written this book with, you know, 5 P's to help people stop dieting and start living, when you describe the stop dieting part and stop and start living, does it have to do with incorporating the P for planning that allows a person to actually engage more in life once they stop dieting? Can you share that with the listeners, please?
I didn't quite understand your question. I'm sorry. Like,
so with regards to the stop dieting and start living aspect,
yeah,
does the start living aspect have to do with the, is it part of the incorporating the P for planning that allows one to be able to have the time to start living once they stop dieting?
Yes. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure I was on the same page as you. Yes, because that plan is critical. But again, back to the order of things. If we're not committed or enthusiastic about this or anything that we do in life, we're not going to be fully embracing it. So once we really make that connection with the priority piece, that, you know, we're worthy, we're totally worthy of having time to ourselves, or the body that we want, or, you know, the job that we want, fill in the blank. And then once we get that piece, the other pieces become more natural. And so once we're invested and this becoming a lifestyle and not just something to go on for 6 weeks or something, then the planning becomes more joyful. You know, it might feel like a chore at first to somebody who's not really been that involved in, and proactive in their own wellness. But once it's like going to the gym, you know, once we get into a rhythm and we start to see results, then we're more likely to go back. But at first, for somebody who hasn't been for a long time or might
right.
have some ailments or, you know, some excess weight, it's not going to be very easy at first. But once they're invested, they want to keep going back, and it's the same with anything, and it's the same with this. So now the planning piece, you know, I don't say this to brag. I just say it to from a place of encouragement, because for me now, it's such a breeze. And again, I say that from a place of encouragement. It wasn't always, but I decided that this was what I wanted. You know, I'm in my 50s. I'm not on any medication. I'm not overweight. I'm healthy. If anything, you know, if I get a cold, which isn't that often, it doesn't last for 10 days like it used to. You know, it might be 3 days. So my recovery time is quicker with things.
Right.
But so all of it now, it's a joy. It's not a chore. I don't spend hours in the kitchen every day, but I do plan what meals we're having. My husband is very into it as well. He never used to be so much at the beginning. But, you know, again, if you just let people go at it in their own time frame, we're all going to get there in the same way, in the same time.
Now, did you feel that when your husband wasn't on board with it in the beginning, that made it a little bit more difficult for you?
No, because actually at home, he, you know, we were eating the same way, more or less, but whatever he did outside of the house, you know, I didn't know about.
Right.
So, but at home, you know, it was still, we were still eating healthy meals.
Okay.
And, you know, we did go out, but we didn't go out as much. So it's progressive, and I think we live in a society and a culture of this quick fix, this want it now in 5 minutes, you know, mentality, all this convenience, and it's the convenience that's causing the inconvenience with sickness and disease.
Okay, so now, Ellie.
Yeah.
Here's something. You've got a mom that's, you know, working, you know, simultaneously, she's getting comfortable with the peas. She's progressively moving, I want to say, through the peas. She, however, you know, has three kids. They're all super busy and active. And she really is, you know, struggling with the planning part of your methodology. What could you say to her to help her? I mean, she's really struggling. And so, you know, she doesn't want to give up, but the struggle is becoming, you know, pretty difficult for her to manage. And there's probably something that she needs to be doing that she's not doing, but she just doesn't get it. And so what would you say to that mom that is really trying to do things better for her family and herself, but get to this pee and has a lot of challenge with it?
Yeah, I would say to engage the other family members. So this becomes something that's, it's a family thing, not just one person trying to make it, you know, do it all for everybody else. And the more that the other family members become involved, there's a really nice bonding that takes place. Where, you know, it's like when I was a kid, my mum used to bake usually on a Sunday morning. You know, it was a traditional English family with a roast lunch on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, you know, even in the summer months, I mean, it was every Sunday roast lunch. You know, usually lunchtime we had it, not in the evening. And so my mum
it was very proper.
Very proper. I've broken away from the traditional Sunday lunch. Anyway, so my mum would do all this baking. And I wasn't quite so into it as my sister was, but she would make, mince pies, which are not what you eat in America, but they're minced meat. It's not ground beef, but it's a dessert. It's something that you often have at Christmas time, actually.
Okay.
But she would make, you know, apple pies and things like that. So my sister and I were involved. Now, I notice here in America that people will bake cookies. I think that's a big one. So oftentimes the kids will get involved in that. So it's the same thing with actually making a meal. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be all about desserts, but it can be about making the meal. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate meal. I mean, to me, having a piece of fish, broccoli, and a baked potato is a good meal, and it doesn't take very long. You know, I'm not really one into sauces, making elaborate things. Keeping it simple is a big, big piece. And sometimes subconsciously, the keeping it complicated can be what stops us from going forward, because we often think that it has to be a certain way before we can actually do it, because if we don't do it right, then we're just not going to start.
Right.
And so it's a progressive thing. In my book, I talk about progression, not perfection, and how once we you know, we get some skin in the game, and then we start to see these improvements, and sometimes they could be very subtle, but every bit adds up to more, and it could be that the sleep is improved, there's better bowel movements. You know, some people are just not, maybe go in just once a week, you know, and it's all those toxins in the body.
Right.
And as you know, the body is an amazing machine. You know, it's so forgiving if we give it half a chance.
Exactly. Very true. Very true.
Yeah, so the planning piece is, I think when it's on just one person, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to maintain that.
So basically incorporating, if the children are old enough to incorporate them to help with doing little things, that, you know, that helps a lot. If you can get the spouse, you know, to come in and help, you know, with other little things that takes so much, that takes pressure off the one individual, and it makes it a lot more easier to transition into, you know, this very healthy way of living and eating.
Yes. And, you know,
where
there's a will, there's a way. You know, if we want something enough, we will find a way to make it happen.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. That, you know, that's so true, no matter what it is, if you want it bad enough, except for when you've lost your health, and you're on that train ride headed down your path to bliss, and there is no return. And you have the, I wish I would have paid attention to what I put in my body. I wish I would have paid attention to how I took care of myself. And you can't reverse it, then it's too late. And so we have shows like this that are all about helping all of you out there listening not to end up on that particular train. And Ellie is here to, you know, again, enlighten us with the dieting thing. Now, Ellie, you know, the whole diet thing, you know, is, as we said, a multi-trillion-dollar industry, and they really don't work. I'm not sure if we've touched on why they don't work, but can you touch on a little bit as to, you know, why they don't work, and why the results that a person gets does not, you know, they can't sustain those results, and what happens when we have the rebound effect from dieting too much?
Mm. Well, in my experience, they don't work because they're not a lifestyle. And I know that some would argue that. I know that, you know, I don't know if I can mention names, but the one where you count the points. they tell you it's a lifestyle. Well, I've been on that many times, and so much of that is chemicals in processed foods. And when the emphasis is on, it's too mechanical anyway. And somebody, I started that, I think I was about, oh, I don't know, late, in my 20s or something.
Uh-huh.
And so one of my friends, a healing friend, said to me that, you know, they thought I was nuts to do it, and it was too mechanical. And I just wasn't ready to hear it. I just thought it was great because I was losing weight. And I wasn't focused on the actual quality of my food back then,
right,
in the way I am now. And I wasn't reading labels like I know about now. And so, you know, when the emphasis is always on the weight loss, then the health aspect is often missing. I'm not saying always, but often. And so, you know, there are plenty of people that don't have a problem with their weight, but they're dealing with health issues.
Right.
So I think they don't work long term because they're not sustainable, because you can't live the rest of your life counting something.
Right.
And, well, you probably could if you wanted to, but I don't think that's how people really want to live. I think people really just want to be done with that food conversation. Just let it be part of their life, their natural life, and not to be focused on, you know, is it enough protein? Is it enough carbs? Do I? What's in this? How much sodium? You know, it's all those things have value, but it's just too much. You've lost the connection with where the food comes from.
Right.
You know, how it's fueling us, as we talked about.
Something that's so simple, as they tout it to be so simple to do, actually becomes very complicated. It becomes very complex, and it's not a natural. not a natural thing that you would naturally be able to incorporate into your life, such as, you know, breathing or buying fresh produce versus produce in the can or something like
yeah.
that.
Because when mm-hmm. we give the body, when we give the body real food, it knows what to do with it. And so many people, you know, on my travels, ask me to explain real food, because it, you know, people would think, well, everything we put into our mouths is real.
Oh.
And it's not, right? It's,
right, no.
You know, artificial chemicalized junk. It's, there's so many chemicals. It's, you know, it could be genetically modified.
Mm-hmm.
It's made in a factory. It's got a huge ingredient list, words that cannot be pronounced. You know, it goes on and on. And so real food is just simply what it comes from the earth. You know, it's in its purest form. And I'm not saying that people should live on vegetables and fruits all day long, but, you know, we've moved away from the common sense approach to health. And, it's, you know, the diseases are on the rise, all kinds of diseases. And people are fatigued. You know, there's adrenal gland, adrenal fatigue.
Yeah.
And people are stressed. There's depression. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I've seen it over and over again when I've worked with a client in person and I've been able to actually serve them a juice made from my Breville.
Yeah.
Within 15 minutes, their energy shifts. It's like they come to life, and they say to me, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe my head feels clearer."
Right.
You know, things like that. So it can happen really quickly when somebody.
And I agree with you. It can happen really, really quickly. I think sometimes for people, it's a subtle thing. Like if you drink a Rockstar or Monster or 5-Hour Energy, you know, by the time you're three or four steps into that stuff, you're feeling supercharged. But when you're doing something like, for instance, you make a juice for your client and they come in and their energy level may not be at where it should be, and then they, you know, drink the juice you made for them and they realize, oh my gosh, I feel so good, because it's so subtle and it's so smooth into bringing the person back into their balanced state that it's not jolting to the system. It's just a natural progression, a natural flow back into a balanced state, versus the artificial stuff is just like from here to Z to 100. It's not natural. It's not a natural progression. So I think that's sometimes why people have a hard time with it. But, I mean, I love it. I love, you know, being able to go to my garden and pick, say, some tomatoes or pick some red leaf lettuce that I've been growing, or some thyme or basil or whatever, something that I can, you know, that I've grown, and be able to make something and put that in my body, you know, exactly where it was, what I'm putting in. I could say it in two words, you know, collard greens or mustard mm-hmm. greens or, you know, red lettuce or tomato, you know. So, you know, it's just beautiful when you begin to make the transition into having those wonderful foods in your life. Now, what can you share with the listeners, or what advice can you give to the listeners to help them to get started on a healthier path right away? What advice can you give?
Well, I would say to start small. To, you know, don't look at the mountain. And for me, when I was 30 pounds overweight, it just seemed like it was so much to deal with. But when we stay thinking that way, we often don't make a move to do something. So pick one or two or even three things that you can get started with. But I don't recommend more than that. Certainly, you know, without working with somebody or having some accountability, because if we keep, you know, falling down and seeing ourselves as a failure, then it's just not going to be motivating. So sometimes we can set ourselves up for a failure, not even realizing, when we've got good intentions. And so it's almost like too much too soon. And so one of the things I used to do was to get all the junk out of the house when I was, you know, in my dieting days or trying to mm-hmm. make improvements. And I always say that's the opposite of the approach that I advocate, because we haven't moved into that yet. And so to try and remove everything, it's too much, because we're going to crave it. So I recommend not doing that, but just to have more of the awareness around what it is we are doing. You know, when we're out grocery shopping, what are we actually putting in the cart? And then to start reading labels. I actually don't shop in a supermarket now. I haven't in many years. But, the average supermarket has 47,000 products. And so there's aisles dedicated to certain things like cookies and cakes and chips and things. And so, or sauces, you know, there's more than one thing there, one brand. So people could just start becoming aware and reading. Yes, this takes a bit of time in the beginning, but as people progress more away from things that are in packages, it won't take the time then. But just, you know, when somebody realizes what they're putting in their body, they'd be more inclined to say, oh my gosh, I don't want to eat that. I'm going to look for a better version of that.
Mm.
So, I used to run through the supermarkets. I swear, if I had wings, I would have been flying around. But because I just didn't have time to be in there, and I didn't really want to be in there. But now it's something that I love to do every week. It's like a field trip to me where I go. And it's not a big place, and I love it. And I really don't buy a lot of things in packages anyway. I mean, I'll get some Mary's Gone crackers. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all that's in there are the grains. There's nothing added, and you can read everything. I'll get some rice pasta. We don't eat these things every week, but when I get them, I get them from there. But they come in a box or a plastic thing, you know, so it's like it's packaged,
right.
But it's not highly processed. So it's a you know, you just don't try to do it all at once, I guess is what I'm saying.
So basically take baby steps, you know, taking baby steps. It's funny because I love going to the store to buy my food. It's I love it. I love the experience. I love being able to pick up the produce. I like to go to farmers markets and things of that nature the best for my produce and stuff. But I've always since I was a kid. It was like, so I was a kid that always wanted to go grocery shopping with my mom, just because I just love seeing what I was putting in my body. And as I've been able to grow up and, of course, you know, have control over what I put in my body, it makes a huge difference. You know, I think it's an exciting experience, like you, because I get to see and I get to taste it and I get to feel it, and I get to create it into something that's going to be utilized by my body in a good way.
Yeah.
So I love it.
And that's the thing, you know, the more, like if I mean, what I'm trying to say is if I ate something, I was going to say junk, but it's not really junk, but if I ate something that is not usually the quality that I eat, my husband and I, we both feel it, you know, we get gassy, and it's like,
my gosh, yes, you know, it's so funny, I do not eat fast food, but every now and then, and when I say fast food, it's like I don't eat at McDonald's, Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, Wendy's, any of those places. I don't eat in any of those places and never would. But I was on the road, and I wanted a hamburger. So I stopped at the chain Red Robin, and I ordered a burger that was supposed to be of the highest quality beef that they had, you know, so I got, you know, I'm like, I really want a good burger. I won't do this again for a long time, but I wanted it to be a good burger. You know, I got lettuce, tomatoes, you know, just it was really going to be a good burger. Ate the burger. It was okay. It was just okay. But the next day, I mean, not even the next day, I got back to my hotel room within 2 hours, my stomach was all bloated. It was gurgling. Now, I didn't feel nauseated or anything, but it was just like I had this whole, and then I realized that burger wasn't the highest quality. And I'm like, oh, that's why I don't like eating at those places, right?
That's what I mean.
Because,
yes.
Yeah. So I totally get what you and your husband go through, because it's not good. It's not the best.
No. When we're, and it's like, and I don't really want to feel like that. So it doesn't make any sense to do it. But sometimes, you know, you're not always in the best of circumstances.
Right.
You just have to do the best you can.
And that was, yeah.
You know, it's
but,
not like living in a, you know, in a bubble. You know, we are in the real world and we are exposed to these things, but...
Oh, you're kidding. I thought I was living in a bubble, and every now and then I come out of my bubble, and that's when I suffer the imperfections of life, and then I go back into my bubble and all is peaches and cream. I'm kidding.
I was thinking then for a minute, what is he? I don't know. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
So
you guys out there listening, I'm sorry, Ellie, we're coming to our time, and you know, as always, I love having you on the show and chatting with you, but I do want you to give, have an opportunity to give information about, one, how people can pick up your book, and two, how they can stay in connection with you or be in contact with you or, you know, reach out and communicate to you.
Absolutely. Yes, well, my website is my name, elliesavoy.com. And people are very welcome to get a free copy of my book there. It's not the actual, you know, hard copy, but it's a PDF version of the entire book. And they can, you know, grab it there. But if they want to have a hard copy or read it on Kindle or that, it's available on Amazon. And also audio, I recorded it. And let's see. The program I have, the Stop Dieting, Start Living Weight Loss System, is available for as a trial period for people to try to jump in, $7 for 7 days, and they can find that at elliesavoy.com under the Work With Me tab. And so that gives people a really great no-brainer entry point to get more. And so that's available for people. And there's more information there, too. You know, I do one-on-one coaching, groups. You know, I offer my services in many different ways to accommodate everybody's needs. And just, you know, love to for people to reach out and be of service to those that my message and my offerings resonate with.
Perfect. So there you have it, everyone. You can reach out and connect with Ellie Savoy at elliesavoy.com. You can go to her site and pick up a free PDF version of her book, Stop Dieting, Start Living. Also, hard copy in Kindle version is available on Amazon as well. And if you had some spark of fire that was peaked inside you as we talked today and you really want to connect with Ellie, then send her an email. Go to her site and contact her and send her an email, and she will get back to you. And Ellie, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on Blissful Living, being a friend of the show. It's wonderful to have you back and listen to your words of wisdom. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And to all of you out there listening, as always, I'm wishing you a wonderful week ahead. I hope you enjoyed today's show and the topic that was discussed on the show today. And you can learn more, again, about Ellie, our guest, at elliesavoy.com. Now, be sure to tune in for the next show. It will be another show designed to help you reduce or eliminate stress from a particular or all aspects of your life. And with that being said, I am the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lossing, wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. Be well, everyone. Bye for now.